Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, let me know what's on your mind, and I'll do my best to respond to your text messages. We got a bunch to get to here, and they're holdovers from the last hour. We got a lot to get to here. I need to scroll down. Let's see. Here we go. Nope, that's from the last hour. Peacock writes, ask Jeff, who is admittedly not a gun guy, his thoughts on crime in Mobile. Well, Peacock, what do you want me to say? Crime is bad. There you go. Those are my thoughts. You don't like where you need crime where you live? How about this, Peacock? Wait for it. Move. Okay. Glad we got that cleared up. Tim, Jones can throw all he wants to it, coach. Jones doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. I can't believe they voted for this clown. The Republicans put him in office last time. I think there's some truth to that. I think there's a little bit of truth to that. Sure. But you know, the toxicity of Roy Moore versus what you have on the ballot now. And let me say this, it's two different things here. It's a different election. When Doug Jones won in 17, that was the only thing on the ballot, except maybe in a few areas around the state. Roy Moore was set up to fail. You had a political establishment in the state, and maybe they publicly identified as Republican, but they didn't. This is Andrew Sorrell was saying the last hour, didn't care. They was someone they could work with. That's more important than the ideological stripes. What's important to the voters is not as important. Two, some of the special interest in Alabama, that's just a fact. Let me start by saying that. But Roy Moore was set up for a failure. Shelby feels like he pulled out a lot of stops. He says he didn't vote for Roy Moore, that he wrote in someone. It's like, come on, why do that, dude? You know, sometimes if he did indeed do that, then my guess is he probably voted for Doug Jones. But, well, no way. I have no way of ever knowing the truth there. Why tell people that? And he came very close, guys. In that next Republican meeting, that next meeting in the executive committee of getting censured, very close. A lot of people upset with Richard Shelby for that. But that's how the game is played. He survives. He doesn't run for re-election. And here we are today. But this is not 2017, because you have so much more on the ballot. We're not just going to go vote for one office. We're voting for Senate. We're voting for all your state house seats, all of that. And that will drive turnout for Republicans. It's not just like, I got to go to the polling precinct and cast a ballot for Roy Moore. No, it's different when it's, I got to go to the polling precinct to cast a ballot for the Republican ticket. My name is Texture. We can certainly do a lot worse than Doug Jones as our governor. He lives in the state, loves the state, understands our peculiar state government. He may actually create some balance with the legislature that's controlled by a few at the top. I don't necessarily agree with some of his positions, but he is not a bad guy. I think he would take the job much more seriously than coach. I disagree with it. I don't know if he's a bad guy or not. I was kind of wrong about him. I thought when he won in 17 And I made a real concerted effort here. Look, he's our senator. If he wants to help this state, if he wants to do what's best for this state, then I'll try to keep an open mind. We're not going to agree on some of the weird social policy stuff, but he would come on the radio show, and some of you remember, he was a regular on this program. My time in Huntsville and my time in Mobile. And then once he got beat by Tommy Tuberville, he kind of turned. Maybe he turned to his true colors, or maybe he turned because he was in line. He wanted a position in the Biden administration. He needed to play to the base. Maybe he was just trying to get that high-paying job with CNN or MSNBC at the time. I don't know. Maybe he was doing some things to court donors. I don't know. But he changed. Is he, what is he? He's anti-Trump. We know that. And by extension, anti-Tuberville. Does he align with Republicans on it? And this is what I would ask him. Do you align with Republicans on anything? Killer Bees, it seems like there may be a mandate voters don't want data centers. Yeah, but the difference between the flock cameras and what the government does with law enforcement is a tool versus telling people what they can do with private property. It's a very different, and we are crossing a threshold here. The public doesn't want data centers, fine. But I feel like if you start telling private landowners that they cannot put what they want on their property, you're opening up the government to do a lot of things. Let me say this too, because when governments try to do that with some of these developers, they lose. This isn't like you and I going to court. These are very, very wealthy, deep-pocketed institutions. And they'll be lawyered up. So that presents a challenge. And what's happened in the past is they've lost. The government's lost. Pete hitting me up on Facebook for some reason. Telling someone to move because of crime in their area is simply ridiculous and ignorant. If you have crime in your area, you could try to help bring it down, or you go to the authorities and get them to assist you. But picking up and moving is not quite as easy as it sounds. If we're that easy, Mobile would have a population of 5 people. You should know. War Eagle. I think if you're in a crime-ridden area and your police aren't doing the job that you expect them to do, you can't go vigilante. I'm just telling you. You want a better quality of life, sometimes the government's not capable of getting you that quality of life. You're to living up to your expectations. And if the power of the voter doesn't work, then the power of the purse will work. And if there's suddenly 5 people living in Mobile, I think you'll get somebody's attention. I'm sorry, Pete, you disagree or didn't like my comment, but that's how this kind of works. Well, I can't move. Well, I put yourself in a better position to where you can move or whatever you need to do. But this is a trend. It's not necessarily just all racist whitey wanting to leave the black-controlled city or whatever it is. Hey, I don't really like my kids don't really have a place to play outside. It's not safe. I think I'm going to move to the suburbs. That's a real thing. Sorry, Pete. Martin writes, Doug Jones is an idiot, and so anyone that votes for him, so is anyone that votes for him. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who will vote for him. Gene, Tubby deserves the veterans' vote. He did so much for them when he was in Congress. If he actually lives in Alabama, why all the obstacles to hide facts? Because you don't set a new precedent. You don't violate state law. And there's a sore loser component to this. There is. The guy who's filed a lot of these lawsuits, he got demolished. But listen, Gene, if you believe that Tommy Tuberville is a Florida resident and does not qualify under the Alabama Constitution to be governor, there is a place where this will be adjudicated, and it's not the court system. It's the Alabama legislature. Well, Jeff, the legislature is Republican controlled. They're not going to do anything. Well, then you vote for a new legislature. Simple as that. It's not simple, but that's how the process works. Eligibility to serve as governor, lieutenant governor, is determined through the legislative process, not through the judiciary. Even the Democrat judge in Montgomery County, in her opinion, she punted to the Supreme Court to decide. Butter and I, if Jeff, if flight cameras can track Bluetooth, that's the law enforcement accessing cell phone without a warrant. Why not let the government own the cell phone tower so they can track everything? Well, the government doesn't need to be tracking Bluetooth, but they can track your license plate. DI Texter, give me a break. Give Tubbs a break. It's tough campaigning for Florida. You guys on the left need a new shtick. I'm going to tell you something. In 2020, when Jeff Sessions ran against Tommy Tuberville in the Republican primary runoff, he rolled out ads. He ran against Tommy Tuberville on the basis that he was a Florida man, and he lost. That's not going to do the trick here. I'm sorry. As a political exercise. As a legal exercise, you're not going to do it in court. You're going to have to go to the legislature, and good luck with that. You may believe deep down in your soul that Tommy Tuberville is not from Alabama and this is wrong. But you have to accept that there is a way to answer this question if he meets the criteria. And it's not going to be through the courts. Mike, Jeff, y'all should talk about how bad this administration is handling the country. It will make us lose more seats. If we want Republicans to be able to continue their policies, and you need to talk about good things they've done, like bombing a wedding in Iran yesterday that killed a bunch of kids and women. Well, Mike, I have you to do that every day. Maybe we could get you a sponsor. Let's see here. I forgot about Jones and the vote to keep ACA. The problem with the Dems and some Republicans is they play to the base, like Doug Jones. This is what I always, you know, when I have the Todd Stacey's or whoever come on this show and talk about Democrats in this state. Well, you know, Jeff, an Alabama Democrat is much different than a national Democrat. We have a very different Democrat structure. Okay, well, let's hear it. It is go time. Let's hear how they're different from the DSA types that are gaining steam around this country. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride. I'm bound and no one can change my mind but mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show All you do is text. We're still working our way through these texts. They've been piling up here over the last, over the last hour and a half or so. 5,000, so I'm not reading that. Jason, good morning, Jeff. The coach is from Florida crowd, doesn't mind being wrong. They still say Trump is owned by Russia, despite ample evidence otherwise. Yeah, it's just, it's not going, just whatever you think and believe, if you're objective, deep down is to get a Governor Doug Jones. That's not the ticket, okay? Probate judge in Tallapoosa County, Tallapoosa East, and he says, like, listen, you know, I determine residency for a lot of people who have vacation homes on Lake Martin. It's their second home. It's like there's a lot of things that you do there to achieve residency, and coaches apparently fits that criteria, even in a legal setting. If they try to adjudicate this, he's still going to prevail. He spent a lot of time in Florida, I would guess. But that's not the winning message here. It's just do something different. Named Texter. The police are already abusing the flock camera system. Several have been caught. Where does it end? Let's see. They're just going to have to put in some rules and some punishments, like some strict, I think severe. If you are tracking your ex-wife or your girlfriend or whatever, and you're using it in that way, then maybe it rises to the level of a felony charge and not just a, or some kind of ethics complaint or something along those lines, and not just a slap on the wrist. You make the penalty very onerous. And maybe perhaps you could discourage it. Captain John, answer this! ! Doug Jones is full of it. The power companies have the profits figured into electricity. They sell. Yes, they're guaranteed a profit. And why should people's bill go up? The more electricity that a business uses, the more profits they have. If they need to generate more electricity to meet the needs, they will have to build whatever to meet those needs. Same goes for the water, but a little different. A lot of knee-jerk reactions going on. Well, John, here's the thing, or would you prefer me call you Captain? They're guaranteed a profit, but if their overhead goes up, if it's, okay, we get X amount of profit, but we're having to spend a lot more, and that's eating into our profits to provide electricity to this data center, then yes, your power bill is going to go up because they're guaranteed a profit. There's the rub. So I guess what I would say is the legislature or the powers are, or whoever this is going to be, we need more power plants. Listen, you know, in 2018, 2019, private company wanted to come in and put a nuclear power plant up in Northeast Alabama at the old Bellefonte site near Scottsboro. You know what they told us? You know what the AL.com intelligentsia told us? There's just not a demand for that electricity. We just don't need it, guys. There's no demand for it. It would be silly to build that. And but turns out they do need that electricity. Turns out that was not true. They do need the electricity. And I, you know, the one thing Alabama has going for it, whatever you want to say, we don't have the same brownouts, blackouts, whatever you want to call them, they have in a lot of other states where they regulate the utilities in a very similar way. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Over and over. Everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned.
say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Welcome back to the Jump Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Still got a bunch of texts. I'll get to those, I promise, over the course of the program. So keep them coming. We do appreciate the feedback. Alan Mendenhall in about an hour, so stay tuned for that. Joining us now from News Talk 93.1. in Montgomery and News and Views in the afternoon, Joey Clark. Joey, good morning. How are you? Hey, Joey, I guess let's start here with how you feel about the election, because I don't think Republicans are going to lose. I'm not crazy or anything like that, but I do think it's maybe a little closer than we might be expecting.
The general national midterms, I mean, I would be surprised if the Democrats don't take the House.
Well, I think you know. I guess I meant to say Alabama, because we've been talking about this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, Shamari figures it could make it close. Some people are talking about him even winning it. Tommy Tuberville, Doug Jones margin and everything down ballot, there's enthusiasm there. It's undeniable.
Yeah, the enthusiasm gap's very real. I was saying yesterday on my show that Rhett Marcus better not sleep on this and just count on straight ticket voting. He's actually got to get there. And whether it's personally campaign or they are going to have to spend a good bit of money to get his name out there and get people energized. So I think congressman figures will not be easy to beat, because number one, he's got a lot of money coming in. The Democrats would love to keep this seat after redistricting. And also, I think Shamari is a good campaigner. Like, he's a very effective communicator. So Rhett's got a actual battle there, which to me makes all the hysterics over the losing black voting power and redistricting thing even more absurd. But let's see what actually happens in a competitive race. With as far as Doug Jones, I don't know. If I was just polling based on internet and comment reaction, Doug's doing all right. But I just have a sense that these are a bunch of Hail Marys he's throwing. And it might not be 20 points like it was in the United States Senate race, but I'd be shocked if he gets within that one poll said what he was down 8. I would be very surprised if he got that close.
Well, here's my argument. Tuberville needs to have 15 points or higher. If he wants the mandate, if he wants the, you know, the political capital to say, hey, the people overwhelmingly spoke here and they voted for me and this is what I want to do. He can't just eke it out. He's got to win by a bigger margin. Now, he could still do all these things, but Anderson Rose said something kind of interesting. If you start giving Democrats some hope here, a lot of the big mules in this state may not ideologically align with Republicans. They bet on winners, but ideologically, they're probably deep down, you know, big state blue kind of Democrats. They don't like the knee-jerk right-wing, you know, populism, whatever reactionary stuff. They may start betting on Democrats later on down the road.
And I think they are in particular, maybe they'll be able to weather it fine, but they're also, I think, nervous about this whole idea of bringing an outside staff in and really trying to plumb Montgomery and change Montgomery up a little bit. So I'd imagine there are going to be some players that maybe they're just non-ideological. They just like their little fiefdoms that will.
And Doug Jones provides a sanctuary for that, right? That
exactly.
You know, or whoever the next Doug Jones may be. And, you know, thinking about this, and this is a total hypothetical that won't happen, but what if Doug Jones does become governor? What does that even look like? And he doesn't talk about this. He just bashes Trump and Tuberville. How is he going to, like, it's going to still be, I believe, a Republican legislature the way the lines are drawn. There's no way that the Democrats are going to win seats. They may pick off a seat or two up in Madison County, North Alabama, Limestone County. However, a Republican legislature, a Democrat governor, Democrat cabinet. I mean, there's going to be a lot of butting of heads if that were to ever happen.
Yeah, I don't think it would be like the end of the world or the end of the state. I'd be shocked. I'd be surprised by it. The very thing I wrote this week, the open letter to Doug Jones, I don't think Doug Jones is like some evil, awful guy. I think he's more he's like almost a caricature of the liberal boomer dominance that shaped the state over the last several decades until the Republicans finally started to come in. So I think it would just be kind of like a continuation, honestly, of what you've seen Ivy doing with a few more nods to civil rights and maybe really pushing for Medicaid expansion. But I don't think you would see huge policy changes because you'd have to work with the legislature. It'd probably be, yeah, let's up the budget a little more yet again, like we've been doing the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, and you know, they would have to work with the governor. And here's the other thing. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This is not a right-wing legislature. There's a lot of old Democrats. They might go along with some of this, and they'll have a reliable scapegoat to Doug Jones. Well, you know, we wanted to do this. We wanted to lower taxes, or we wanted to privatize ABC, or whatever it may be, but that rascally Doug Jones, he just was in the way.
Well, and I think your 15-point threshold is exactly the right threshold, and maybe not even on the official election day, but like leading up, if legitimate people behind the scenes are saying this is going to be close, that gives all those folks who act like, you know, they're Tommy Tuberville's best friend when he's visited the legislature and have tried to, you know, and that's what they do. It'll give them room to sort of feel out different options, and more folks will jump ship. So Tuberville needs to get the energy up. I think right now we're still in the hot summertime, but I don't know if he will, but it would be great if he did something like almost Trump style rallies, have a bunch of great speakers, himself speak, start touring the state in that sort of way. He definitely needs to get the energy up.
That's sort of my take on it. Like, let's wait till after Labor Day. Because there's some people who are getting antsy. Our friend Dick Brubaker's like, what are you doing, Tommy? Why aren't you out there more? Why aren't you doing more? But they start running some ads on TV. Start getting some of these third-party groups to attack Doug Jones. Start doing those things. And then you'll see a tangible change in the numbers, especially with football season and a lot of people watching TV. And if you could start after Labor Day and get the war machine, because they got a lot of money to use. You get that war machine fired up, and then I think it becomes a different proposition. Joey? I think we lost Joey. Let's see if we can't reconnect here. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, what you got to do, just hit me up on the text line, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joey, we got you?
Yeah, I think I'm back.
All right, I don't know what happened there. But like I said, to get the war machine fired up, start running some ads, that matters. We start hearing more Tommy Tuberville, and I think a little of these concerns will go away.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a big push. And also, as we've talked about the death on your show, especially, the internet's not real life. A lot more action and a lot more things are decided there. But, you know, think about that last stretch. Look at all the energy Jared Hudson had against Barry Moore. If you just looked online, it looked like Jared was going to win that thing. So I think Doug's team is running a all right digital campaign, and he's certainly putting himself out there, but he has to put himself out there. And so to your point about you start spending a bunch of money, you also start doing some big tentpole events. And I think Tuberville, I would be shocked if Tuberville doesn't win this thing.
Yeah, but it's just, it would mean a lot more if you get in that 15-20% window and you show that you have, I mean, you're not going to win like Governor Ivey did over Yolanda Flowers or Will Boyd or whoever's on the ballot for those guys. But if you can indeed like really be more active here, you're going to set yourself up for a better position in 2027, because it sounds to me, just kind of talking to those guys, they got some big ideas, a lot bigger ideas than the current governor has.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to sound like a jerk. I think I'm just saying what's true. I look down the ballot. Like, I don't think Philip Insler's got a shot against John Wall. I like Phil enough, but, like, I don't think that's happening. And you go down the line of everybody running statewide, it's just the Democratic Party's still in the wilderness. And maybe down the road, your point about the big mules perhaps turning against more conservative forces, I think that's in play, especially if Birmingham, Huntsville start growing. You get more, you know, city folks that tend to be a little more liberal. That's always the trend. But I think this cycle, it's – you know, they put on their best face. They're going for the long shot, and, you know, maybe some they'll shock the world. But I think it's going to be GOP across the board for the most part.
Hey, speaking of Philip Insler, and I neglected to ask you this last week because it slipped my mind, but he came on this show, and he had some criticism of you for your op-ed, and I sent you the clip. You listened to it. It was mild, but what would you say to Representative Insler in response?
He can think what I wrote is ridiculous, and he could easily deny it. It's his life and his choices. And I mean, he could easily prove me wrong if he stays in the state of Alabama for a long, long time, runs for other offices. But I was more just speculating, like, why the big switcheroo. And I am sensitive to the fact of, you know, I understand what it's like to lose a parent, how that can change, you know, your plans in life. And so, you know, he can deny it, but I thought it was actually kind of reasonable gaming it out. It's very possible. And to make it less personalized, how many times have we seen, whether it was AOC or others still trying to do it, that Alabama has been a big stage to make a big moral case right to the rest of the country? And that's part of what I was leaning into.
Yeah, I think so. The, you know, he's one day he's talking about moving to out of state. He's not running for re-election. And then, you know, the next day he's a candidate for a major office on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, it just seemed the tone of it, it doesn't really come across as writing. I was more amused by it. Like, that's just been my whole thing with this. Like, I thought that guy was leaving. What is this?
Yeah, and so such as it is, he's not running a bad campaign. Mm-mm. But this feels like the Democratic Party sort of waking up a little bit this cycle. There was this expectation in 18, and you had a bunch of candidates qualify on the ballot, and all of this was going to change. But I'm going to tell you, just kind of here on September 2nd, there is a different level of enthusiasm. Like I said, will it matter? No, but if you start giving these guys any kind of hope or optimism, they could build on that.
And you think about what is capturing, sitting here on the beginning of September, what's capturing the American people's imagination, and it's what we've talked about, like it's data centers and flock cameras, which is a bipartisan kind of pushback against elite forces. And it's just fascinating to watch the very thing. I mean, I stand by this. I was saying it yesterday. If you really want to fight back against data centers and big tech and flock cameras, like, delete social media. Like, but I think we're all kind of reliant on the very thing we're criticizing at this point. But it shows, though, that both parties don't really have a control of messaging in the way they would hope. And Trump's cult of personality, and I mean that in a positive sense of just what it is, it's waning a bit. He doesn't seem to have quite the same force, even with this big convention he's going to throw, I guess, next week. I don't know. Maybe this all changes within a week or two, and all the money spent and all the psyops begin, and here we go to town right before the midterms. But it does seem like the Trump era is coming to a slow, grinding halt, and get ready for 2028, everybody.
Yeah, the magic of Trump, and it had a good run. I mean, you started in 2015. It has been 11 years. Not only can Republicans not dine off of it, I think this is probably a bigger problem for Democrats. They can't dine off of it either.
No, it's. I think we're going to be surprised in the next 2 years, and including, I would add, in the state of Alabama. Who knows what the exact issues are going to be. But, I mean, a lot of this was state politics, so correct me if I'm wrong. You can talk all the policy you want and all the budgets and taxes and data center, whatever hot issue is. I think in this state, it's a matter of familiarity. It's more of a personal, like, do I have a personal sense of who that guy is or that gal is, and I'll vote for him. That just seems to be the trend, even with older folks aging out. That just still seems to be the way what governs the state at the end of the day.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll kind of wind it down here, though. Let's just talk about the phenomenon of Doug Jones. Because all I could gather is he's against whatever Tommy Tuberville and Donald Trump are for. Sure, he'll talk about Medicaid expansion or whatever, but I there's not a good messaging strategy. And if you're going to want to be governor, and I know we're spending way too much time on this guy, he's not going to be governor, but it's interesting to me. If you're serious about this, and this isn't an A, a vanity run, or a B, create a scenario where you have coattails, so down ballot races, maybe in some legislative districts, might go Democrat, then you need to win over, you're going to have to win over some Republicans. And none of this messaging really checks that box to me.
No, it does seem like they're still stuck in the whatever Trump is. I'm against it. And I don't know, it's unfortunate. And then where the whole let's be really tolerant, whether you're Doug Jones or John Archibald, you know, I think Coach, and I've told him as much, can be a little over top with the Muslim thing. But I would love somebody to ask, like, John Archibald or Doug Jones, y'all think Islam's true?
Yeah, well, the John Archibald temper tantrum was one for the ages. and this guy is such a fraud. He's written some, like, over-the-top things over the years that he's had. One was about Paul DeMarco making a bunch of mafia references back when he was in the legislature. And Paul DeMarco, he's of Italian descent. You're the one peddling these stereotypes. Like, get over yourself. And, I'm not crazy about the tip trip skipper, attaboy to Tuberville, but, it's not really any different from the tripe you put out there.
Well, and I don't know. I can kind of feel for him because I've been doing a weekly column. I haven't missed a week since 2022. So fast forward 20 years, who knows what Joey will write.
Well, I've been doing a weekly column longer than both of y'all.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, since like 2005. So it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's hard to come up with something every week. But this one was just be yourself and don't just be a partisan hack, it feels like.
And I'll close with this real quick. As the Trump era is coming to a halt, I think we're also seeing the last gasp of the liberal boomers, and it's somewhat fun to watch.
Joey, folks will find you online. Where can they look?
At Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey, appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. More butter knife, because you never have enough butter knife on the Jeff Porch Show. Jeff, remember the story where Tuberville was using taxpayer money to fly from Washington to his home in Florida? Should somebody have wrote an ethics charge against him, or is that considered normal misuse of taxpayer money? I think it's allowed. And you have to get a waiver, but it's up to the ethics committee in the Senate to make that determination. I know, for example, Bradley Byrne represented AL1. I think he used to fly in out of Pensacola. Sometimes you have a direct flight to Washington, D.C., or if you are representing Anniston and you could fly direct to Atlanta and drive. So listen, it's allowed. You could call it misuse. It was a Landy App story. He's allowed to use taxpayer money to fly home, not to vacation home. Well, I mean, I think that's the rules are very loose on that. Sometimes you live closer to the airport that you're closest to is in another state. Is it great? No. I mean, would you prefer he fly home to Auburn? Yes. But it's allowed. Be dark. Tuberville isn't from Alabama or Florida. He's from Arkansas. Listen, the bottom line here, Butter Knife and all you other guys, Elections of consequences. Tommy Tuberville is the Republican nominee for your governor. And Republicans overwhelmingly, he cleared the field when he announced he was going to run. If you don't like it, if you don't like that he's from another state, you don't get him on a technicality. You get him at the ballot box. The technicality is not going to work here. We could gripe, we could fill the text waves, do all of that, but it's just not, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. You got to get, you just, if you don't like that he spends time in Florida, then don't vote for him, is all I can tell you. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.